wanna be down with the Canary.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, introducing RJ to the fold here as he's working the board. Sean is here in the background, but absolutely doing nothing. I saw him. He was on his phone earlier, just probably looking at porn earlier this morning, but I don't know what the heck he was doing, but RJ's been doing all the work over there. RJ, welcome to the show. How are you?
Nervous, but we're here.
We are you're here, immediately boys. Stressing them out before the show.
Officially where's here in Houston.
Where's the sound?
Where's
RJ?
The concert?
And they're like, oh, I didn't see you that.
I was
now.
Not yeah, screaming hi, at RJ. I was like, okay. Right, RJ? We had a little miscommunication here. We got some sound
email.
That we needed to get. We got a lot
made
of sound.
Everyone nervous.
Here's what we do. Here's what we're doing today. We've got Will Smith versus Chris Rock. We've got the
yeah,
Kooks.
Oh, for those of you who didn't watch the Oscar and you weren't on Twitter,
we got the Kooks as well. We've got the Deshaun Presser. We've got a lot of stuff to do, and we've also got to introduce RJ into the mix here on the show. He is our permanent now. And I don't know, somebody on Twitter, I think it was DJ Green, said, oh, and more, they're changing the shows again over on ESPN. They're changing the show. We're bringing in RJ as our producer. So that is cool. But, yeah, we have to start. Were you watching?
Which one? The Cougs?
No, not the Cougs. Were you watching last night, the Oscars?
Yes.
Did you see the confrontation?
I had it paused, and Frank goes, what the F just happened? Frank Bullington. And I'm like, okay, Nick, we need to go turn this on. Something just happened. Because she was talking to one of the kids about something. So we watched, and I heard the first joke that he made about G.I. Jane, and I was like, oh, my gosh. How could he do that? You can't do that. She has alopecia. Okay, we're talking about Will Smith's wife. He did a joke, and then he included Javier Bardem and what's
Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, Penelope Cruz, hottie. And then he said, you know, basically if the man wins in a category, both the husband and wife are nominated. If she loses, he can't win.
He can't win.
He can't win.
And then this happened.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? that was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me. Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay?
That was, okay. Now, on ABC, you did not hear him saying they cut the sound off. ABC cut the sound off of
everything.
Everything.
For about 10 seconds.
About 10 seconds worth of no sound. So this is the original before edited version, and then it was the beeps were put in as well. So
it came from like Australia is the first one I saw because they air the whole in Australia. They're like, oh, I don't care. You already know we use the C word willy nilly.
They actually do.
Don't worry, I went to Jim Jeffrey Saturday. It was said a lot. It was said a lot.
Yeah, we got to hear about that too today. So Will Smith, he says, hey, because Jada Pinkett Smith has alopecia, she shaved her head.
Alopecia is a disease. For some of you, you may not remember Charlie Villanueva. Remember him from Nova?
Yeah.
He had
eyebrows even.
That's alopecia.
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't either.
She doesn't. Oh, she
you,
does. Yeah,
you
yeah.
would. That's why she just looks like she's just kind of stylish.
Like a shaved head, though.
Yeah. It looks, I know.
Yeah, she has brown. She has black
looks,
up there.
It looks stylish. It's what a lot of women are doing.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Will Smith originally was laughing at it. And then all of a sudden, he went.
So in the video, Will Smith starts laughing. And trust us, this is the lead story. I don't care if you want to hear, get to the Cougs, get to Final Four. No, I can wait. This is the biggest story. So Will Smith is like laughing. But see, you know, sometimes you hear something that you don't think is that.
Yeah.
But at some point, the cameras caught him, and Will's kind of laughing. And then all of a sudden, he gets up. Now, you can't see that
now
on TV.
She wasn't. You saw the look on her face.
The look on her face was not happy. At some point, he had to have looked over and seen her face. Or she said, are you going to let him say that to me? You know, something like that. I don't know. But Will Smith got up, walked over. You could hear Chris Rock go, oh.
Here comes Richard.
Here comes Richard, yeah. Right. And he slapped him. And, you know, immediately, I checked Twitter for everything that was, I'm with Will. Then it hashtag Oscars so black. Then it was Richard. There was like 10 hashtags or 10 trending topics about this on Twitter last night. And one of them was staged. So I'm like, well, of course, Conspiracy Theory of America thinks is going to get staged. And most people thought, you know, there's a slow-mo of it. If it was staged, one of two things. If you hear Will Smith's emotional acceptance speech, you would know that at some point he was a little embarrassed about it. But he did say something at the beginning that was like where he talks about, you know, his life imitates art.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Williams protected his daughters. I'm like, oh, my God, this sounds like this is a whole big, like,
it was.
You're doing
now,
a thing.
Now, my wife thought that was staged. And I was like,
that
no.
was a real slap.
That was, and oh, by the way, it was too uncomfortable. It was just too uncomfortable.
Here's how you know it was not staged. Chris Rock's reaction, where, dude, I'm going to keep your wife's name out of my mouth.
Yeah.
You're right. It was uncomfortable, but it's meant to be uncomfortable in the building if you're selling it. But Will Smith dropping F-bombs twice on the broadcast, and then Chris Rock's reaction lets you know. Chris Rock would have sold it differently. That was the act of not a guy who was – he would have been more over the top. That was a guy,
he
like,
was shocked.
Nervous.
He was
shocked. Shook.
Although he took it well. He just sat there and went, wow, man, really?
Oh, he ate the slap.
Yeah, he did. Now, you know,
what else are you going to do?
Well, and the police in L.A. reported they saw the incident, but Chris Rock would not press charges. So there aren't going to be – he could file a lawsuit against them. We saw it. There are two sides to this story. Every woman is, oh, Will Smith protected his wife, and that is awesome. And these comedians go too far, making fun of people, and blah, 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 blah.
I've seen them
And then
all.
There's the other side that says, wait a minute. We're going to, just somebody says something to you, and we're going to, that's what's wrong with our society, is somebody, and then somebody either takes out a gun, a knife, punches somebody, and now we've got physical violence as opposed to being able to work stuff out. And I see both sides. If you want to know the truth, and I understand, but Will Smith saying, going up there afterwards and talking about how he's just about love and all of this stuff, it really rang kind of hollow, if you want to know the truth, when he walked up and just slapped the snot out of Chris, just minutes earlier.
Well, he initially was laughing.
He what?
He initially was laughing at the joke.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the part that I, but you can be uncomfortable and laugh at something you don't think is funny, but if your wife, look, Chris Rock went too far. That was, she has alopecia, which is a condition. She may be very, very she's addressed it before. Listen, that couple is as open as everything, and we'll get to some of it because they're having like an open relationship, and there's men, including one who just texted and said, you know what? You didn't keep that same energy for the guy that was, you know, they brought you on TV to talk about her messing around with a young, like a teenager when they first got together. Like, you didn't keep the same energy for him, but you go get a guy who's smaller and weaker than you and older.
I think he's got a lot of anger issues about
that
whole thing.
I think he's got some. Yeah. I don't blame him.
Yeah, right.
I don't blame him. No. But that's a whole
and,
thing.
Well, did you hear the comedian? I don't know. There was Wanda Sykes and there was
Regina Hall and Amy Schumer.
Okay, Regina Hall. I don't know. Well, she was picking men out of the single men out.
She made the joke about Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith. Hey, your wife's here, but I think it's okay. You could come too in backstage. And, oh, by the way, that was, my wife was like, really? A woman is picking guys out and then patting them down. She patted down Josh Brolin and he was touching him and all over. If that was a guy doing that to women, how would we feel about that? So there were some, and listen, the Oscars are looking for some ratings, bro. They changed all the Oscars. It looked like they were going to have protesters out front because they gave all of the behind the scenes awards the night before because they didn't want to bore everyone like they do every year with all of those awards.
And it still went super long.
And it's still and they still bored everyone with the behind the scenes awards that they gave anyway. Wow. You want to talk about maybe it'll bring I think one of the biggest reasons that the Oscars lost ratings was because no one went to the movies. No one cared, right?
Last year, no one had been at the movies. I said this on Twitter. I said, and this is before all the other, before the Will Smith stuff happened. I used to watch, and you know this, I used to watch every Oscar-related movie in every major category. Yep. Except for documentary short. Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Every actress supporting, actor supporting, foreign film, documentary, and, of course, movie. Every one of them we would see. Me and Nicole would go to the theaters and see. Even after we had kids, we would get to see them. Then we'd fly to Chicago to the famous gay Oscar party. We had the most fun there. It was a big event where he rented out the top floor of this building in Chicago, and it was awesome. It was so much fun. I did this up until probably right before COVID. It started to slow down because my draft stuff, but I still would get everything in under the gun. Once COVID hit, and this is what I said, what I found out was pretty much literally everyone that replied agreed. I said, COVID, I went from watching every one of these movies to I've seen two this year. And I said, I went to the movie theater one time all year long. This used to be stuff I didn't miss, but COVID has turned me into a series watcher. And I mean, when I say series, yeah, I got through all of Peaky Blinders. I got through all of Bosch. I got through
none of them were nominated. Not one of them.
No, not one of them. But I got through all of every series. I've become a series watcher. I'm not a movie watcher. And now when I see a movie's like 2 hours, here's my thought. Like, I already know I'm not going to get the same character development, the same plot twist. COVID has ruined me for movies. And I was Mr. Oscars watching all this stuff. I can't watch movies. Like, I don't have the same excitement for watching movies. Let me put it that way.
Right, right. I do. I mean, I saw a lot of them. I didn't see all of them, but I am definitely gonna watch them. But there's some good responses here. Someone needs to tell Will Smith Jackson Mahomes been talking about Jada, so he could go up and slap her. Chris Rock missed the perfect chance to drop in, and they picked you to play Ali. And then the only Gonzo says, it's not like she's dying from this condition. Wear a wig if you're that insecure. Listen, she doesn't have much of a sense of humor anyway. She doesn't. But they put all their business out there. And I think Will Smith does have – he's angry.
Dude, if you read the timeline between – so this kid, and I mean he was a kid, August Alsina, he was a kid when they got together. He says he went on the Breakfast Club, so there was a video – that he did, and he's basically putting Jada just dropping, kind of subtexting. The subtext of Jada is all over this. This is Will's wife, and he is a young dude. He goes on the Breakfast Club in the morning, and he claims that he gave years of his life to Jada in a romantic relationship with Will Smith's blessing. Later that day, Rest for Jada calls his claims absolutely not true. No one believes her, of course. Then, you know, and so there's this show, this video, kind of like a vlog. It's a show called The Red Table, where they put all their business out on, well, they have in the past. And Will just looked terrible on that. She confirms that she had a relationship with him, but denies Will ever gave his blessing, claiming the two were separated at the time. Will Smith's glaring becomes a meme. Go ahead and Google Will Smith and August Alsina, and you'll see There's no way he was okay, you know, that he liked what people have said about him over the time, whether it was or not, or they were in a relationship or whatever. But I'm just telling you now, 50 Cent posted a screenshot of a conversation he had with Will Smith about the talk around the red table. And this is a direct message. Will says, "We broke up, and so she did her and I did me." 50 Cent follows what appears to be genuine concern for Will with a joke about August and Jada's entanglement. Will did not appreciate it. So they show a direct message that he posted where Will was not happy about the joke that 50 Cent made. Will, yeah, Will's mad. Will shouldn't have gone up and slapped him.
No.
And there's a lot of people who think, dude, you got a guy over here doing all this stuff publicly, and he makes a joke. But that joke was way out of line. For a wife who has a condition that maybe she is not, like, making a joke. And I get it, but the alopecia, when you cross over into a wife and a physical issue she's going through, that's probably a little too much. But you could have beat his ass out after the award ceremony.
Yeah, or
you could have waited.
Or just scream, keep my wife. You know what? Whatever. Yeah. You don't walk. You don't walk up.
No, that's not in the Oscars.
Listen.
That's, and Will knows that's it. Will knew. I think Will knows. And there's another video of somebody who was there at the event who was up in the upper deck.
Yeah, and
did you see
Joe Denzel and Tyler Perry calming him down afterwards.
And then I think it was Bradley Cooper after that.
Yeah, and walked up to him.
Because our guy Eric said, damn, you needed all of, I can't remember the movie with Tyler. He said, you needed all of the entire cast of, you know, this movie and that movie to calm Will Smith down.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk Cougs, and the Final Four is set. We will do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now we're talking about Craig DeCerf.
Yeah, and listen, this is going to be a proverbial literal slap, but he will slap the other car dealers around the Houston area with a figurative slap when it comes to service, selection, trade-in value, and just really the way that you get treated. There's a lot of times where you've bought a car, you've thought about buying a car, and it's just so uncomfortable. You don't want to go back. And buying a car should be fun. You love the new car smell. You love all the new features. But buying a car can be really, really stressful because the sales staff makes it stressful. And you don't want to be pushed around. You want to wait and do what's right on your terms. And that's the way Craig DeCerf has always run his businesses. That's why I have so much confidence in speaking for him, because I know he's going to treat you the way that he would want to be treated. And it's really true. It's not just a saying. And that's why when you see the good people over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they want you to buy your second car, your friends get their cars, your coworkers, because you're telling everyone what a great experience you had. And you will have a great experience. Go to LanceZCars.com today and see all the vehicles they have in stock. LanceZCars.com.
PN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the big story last night was the Oscars. We started with that. On Saturday here, it was the Cougs. It was the gang that couldn't shoot straight. They just didn't. It was just awful, awful, awful. It doesn't get any worse than how the Cougs shot the basketball. And especially from three. Holy crap. Fabian White, 0 for 2. Jamal Shedd, 0 for 5. Kyler Edwards, 0 for 8. Tajay Moore, 1 for 5. 1 for 20. 1 for 20. 5%. This is a team that shoots over 30%. If they'd have just shot half as good as they normally do on average. I mean, if they tried to do that again, I don't think they could shoot 5%. They shot under 30% from the field, 5% from three. Only 64% from the line. But here's Kelvin. Now, you'd think, okay, they got blown out. They lost by 6. Here's Kelvin Sampson talking about how they lost this game.
But if you'd have told me before the game that we're going to hold them to 28% from the field, they're going to shoot 23% from the three-point line, and we'd lose, I wouldn't have believed you. Our kids guarded. Man, did we guard. I mean, our defense was spot on. You know, it's not easy to hold a team with that kind of, Gillespie and Moore, Saunders. Everybody in our lineup can make a basket. But, we held them to 50 points. We had a lot of opportunities. They didn't go in. That happens. I'm disappointed we lost. We felt like this was a game we could win. Not should win, could win.
That's Kelvin Sampson on the podium on Saturday night. All of those things were true. They just played. He meant Samuels, not Saunders, because Samuels is a good player. Samuels was lights out. He had 16 points. He was pretty damn good. He had 10 rebounds. Man, you want to talk about and listen, the Cougs shot 5% from three. That was the best basketball game of the weekend. Boy, what a bunch of crappy games. The Elite Eight was terrible. Was awful. But we've got nothing but blue bloods. In Villanova, I don't know if they're a blue blood. They're in in the Big East, which isn't a major conference anymore. But they won a couple national championships here recently. So yeah, they're pretty damn good. North Carolina and Duke on Saturday. Holy cow! With Coach K on the line, his last ever game possible against North Carolina. They've never met in the NCAA tournament. And here they are playing in possibly Coach K's last ever game.
That's incredible.
In the Final Four.
You know, it is wild that we get such a blue blood Final
it
Four.
It is. I Kansas, mean, Villanova,
Kansas,
North so Carolina,
one of the
and Duke.
Of the East. You get Kansas and Self. You get Duke, and then
It was
who's the other one? I'm thinking. Oh, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
I mean,
it was nice having St. Peter's in.
Yeah,
but now. We don't need you anymore. Thank you. You served your purpose.
To get back to the Houston game, we had talked about the fact that they, for whatever reason, there was this idea that Houston was this amazing offensive team, I guess because of some ranking or efficiency thing.
Yeah, they were.
But just watching TV, you can see Houston will struggle.
Well, their numbers were okay. We're good.
Yeah, but that's when they get out. It's going to be against lesser competition. And this is, you're playing against really good teams at this stage.
Yeah.
And they're not a good half court set.
Well, listen, Villanova is a really, really good defensive team. Villanova holds onto the ball longer than anybody in college basketball. They slow the tempo so that if you do fall behind, you're in trouble. But they were very much in that game.
They were in the game because Houston defended like crazy. But Houston is not a good half court offensive set team against the very best teams. They're not a good shooting team. We knew they're not a naturally good shooting team, but they've shot okay.
Yeah.
They didn't shoot well against Illinois, and Illinois got close, but then Cougs were just too much for them. They shot really, really well in the last game. Hmm. But then Houston, we knew they needed to shoot the three at least reasonably well. Little did we know if they shot at 20% from three, 25%, they win.
Yeah.
And that's with Villanova making a ton of free throws, all their free throws, basically. So you had Houston defended like crazy. I mean, they were down two. Houston played about as bad as you could offensively, and they were down two late in that game. That's unbelievable that they were there. But just really, and so they were shooting some contested shots, but they also had wide open looks that they were missing. And it was impossible, if you're a Houston sports fan, not to sit there at the second half at some point and say, oh, my God, this is like the Rockets all over again. Only thing worse than that is imagine the Rockets missing seven more consecutively, and they missed all of them. Like, Houston missed 27. I still always – that seems impossible.
27 straight
They
threes.
Really did miss 27
yeah.
in a row,
Yeah,
the Rockets.
Yeah.
Like, it seems impossible after you watch a Houston game. Like, surely no one's ever shot worse than this. No, the Rockets shot substantially worse. They had seven more in a row that didn't go.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. It was just screaming at the TV. They couldn't make layups. I mean, Tajay going in but Tajay was their only.
They missed some bunnies.
Their only hope offensively.
You got to get into the paint. When it's not going, you got to get into the paint and try to get your confidence going. But the problem was Houston couldn't play the tempo that they wanted to. They couldn't go get the easy baskets and transition. And I think that's what Villanova does is they make you play their style of basketball. It was unlikely. Somebody needed to get on top first. Houston needed to try to get Villanova to play their basketball. But because Houston is going to be more of a grinded-out team, Villanova was probably always going to be able to play the style of basketball they wanted.
Yeah.
The problem was Villanova was able to control it, and Houston – but even like that, Houston could have won. Even with Villanova controlling everything.
They controlled everything.
Villanova
they were
didn't
out
shoot well.
7-0 to start
Gillespie,
the game.
He couldn't do nothing.
No. Well,
they
he
were in
really
his pocket.
Passed on a lot of shots.
Well, they were in his pocket. He didn't have confidence either.
Right. No, he didn't have any. And that's the Big East back-to-back player of the year that they held down. But they losing Justin Moore, too, by the way, who snapped his Achilles. Holy crap, that's a big, big loss for them. Huge loss because Justin Moore – was, I mean, he was only 2 for 10, but he is a big part of what they do. And not having him, they don't have much of a bench. They got Daniels coming off the bench, and that's about it. So they're five deep right now. So they've got a problem. The Villanova's got a problem, especially against a good Kansas team. Without Justin Moore, they're a lot like the Cougs. They don't have very much depth at all. And, man, are they in trouble now but losing Justin Moore. All right, when we come back, the Deshaun Watson, we haven't had even a chance to look at. We're going to Zapruder the Deshaun Watson press conference, and we will break down
a lot of the thoughts. There was a comment that you will not want to miss.
No.
It was the most unfortunate wording in the history of press conferences.
Of wording. It was one of the most uncomfortable press conferences I've ever seen. We'll do it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, we've got to talk about your patio.
Yeah, Texas Custom Patio is it's a company here in Houston. They've got actually locations in Dallas, a spot in Dallas, and they're getting ready to open in Austin as well. And it's because they're growing and growing at a rapid rate. The work that they've done here has been phenomenal. And so many people have told their neighbors and their friends, their coworkers, whatever it is about TexasCustomPatios.com. I've been telling you guys, you can go to TCPLance.com. That's TCPLance.com. And you can see the before and after of my patio or my space and what they did with it. It's not really – patio is just not big enough for what they're doing. They're creating outdoor living spaces where you've got televisions, you've got you've got TVs, you've got fire pits, you've got fireplaces, you've got refrigerators, cooktops, grills. They can build the islands where people can actually sit in them with bar stools. It's amazing what they're able to do in your space. And whatever you're looking for, they can design it and they can create it. And they can create it on your house like it was originally built with your house just like that. It really makes your home pop, and it turns your house into a home. Make sure that you go to Texas Custom Patios today. If you're thinking about doing something to your home, you want to upgrade your home, this is one of the best ways to upgrade your home because it's going to give you a tremendous amount of enjoyment. If you're doing the inside, why don't you think about doing the outside? TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance and I never got a chance. We haven't talked about the Deshaun Watson press conference, which was one of the worst press conferences I've ever seen.
Because it jumped off on Friday.
Friday after our show. And I know you heard a lot. Man, I don't know if you heard the whole thing or not. I watched it a couple of times and broke down a bunch of the stories. Now, I wanted to put in there, because there was a lot of fabrication going on in this thing, and you'll hear it, and we can break a lot of it down. But I figured let's just break down some of the stuff. And listen, Cleveland media did a hell of a job. We're gonna have Jake Trotter on in about an hour. He works for ESPN Cleveland, and he was the original. He's the guy I think that asked this question of Andrew Berry. Let's start, Andrew Berry. Why nobody in the organization spoke to the women who accused Deshaun Watson?
Our attorneys advise us that reaching out directly could be considered interfering with a criminal investigation. But that's the reason that we did hire independent investigators, to make sure that we could get that comprehensive and holistic perspective.
So I get that. There was, however, at the end, there was no criminal investigation except in Pearland, but the criminal investigation was over. That was not brought up, but neither here nor there. I get it. They said they've done a 5 months extensive with independent people looking into it and blah, 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 blah. So the press conference is Andrew Berry, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson, and Kevin Stefanski, the head coach. Kevin Stefanski did very little in this press conference. It was a lot of Andrew Berry, and some of it was uncomfortable. You will hear it. Deshaun, a lot of it was uncomfortable. Now, here is a good question for Deshaun Watson. Why did you ask for a trade from the Houston Texans?
The biggest thing was, I think at the time, we just both were going in different directions. And so for me to be able to accomplish the things that I want to do, You know, we started off doing it privately with my agency, and then it led to, you know, the whole big situation. But yeah, we just it was a time for both of us to kind of part ways.
He's not lying in that they did want to part ways mutually, but it was well after Deshaun unilaterally decided that he didn't want to be a Texan.
Yeah, he'll just avoid that.
Well, he didn't avoid it. He lied about it.
Well, he's going to avoid answering it truthfully.
Yes. He wanted out because of his disdain for Cal McNair and the organization and the direction and the incompetence. And you know what? It's not like I can blame him, but this was not a mutual. They had just paid him $27 million in a signing bonus. They had just signed him to a four-year extension. They were looking forward to Deshaun Watson being their quarterback, maybe putting his name up on the building. And before he plays it down with this extension, he asks for a trade. So this is squarely on Deshaun Watson. It wasn't mutual until the 22 accusations. Then it was mutual, yes. So in a way, he's not lying, but he's lying. When pressed about just getting a contract and then saying he wanted out, he said this.
Yeah, I can't get too far into detail because there's an ongoing investigation still. But I can say that with this now day and age, especially with my age group, social media is a big business part that goes into it. So that's, you know, a factor into it. But as far as the details, I can't get too far into it because there's an investigation going on. But hopefully, you know, once everything is resolved, I can speak freely on it.
That was the soundbite about ask why he had 40 masseuses. That was, okay, can you?
By the way, that was
Are you able
weird,
to play it again? Are you able
well,
to
hold
play
on.
It again?
That was a weird answer, too, about his really, age group.
Listen, yeah.
That was a weird one, too. The whole thing was, you and I talked about how it might go down. I heard all the clips like everyone did, or you saw it. Did he give the introductory? Did he thank God or whatever early on, like we talked
God.
About?
He did
not.
God.
Okay. No. Number two, what were the other ones? He did proclaim his innocence.
Innocence.
But he also did, there was like, there were some major things that we said would happen. And I noticed they all happened, other than, I guess, the God one.
He did not thank God. He did mention his aunties a few times,
okay.
Which was a little, but he continually after time, it's not how I was raised. That's not the person I am. That's not how I raised. Let's hear that same one again. This asked about why he had 40.
I can't get too far into detail because there's an ongoing investigation still. But I can say that with this now day and age, especially with my age group, social media is a big business part that goes into it. So that's
pause.
You know,
okay. That is right. Right now we're talking about Miss South Carolina. I can also say that with my age group at this particular time, with businesses. And such, like, what? Deshaun, with my age group businesses, I can't get into it. Deshaun had
social media.
He just says the phrase social media out loud. He goes,
player.
I can't get into it because of the ongoing investigation. But in this particular time with my age group, social media and with business and such, like... I personally believe he should have said that. That was a personally believe answer with Deshaun. Deshaun could, you know, so this was a topic of people in the NFL when it went down, of course, and with everybody. Mm. And the number one comment that I got when it all jumped off, because it was last year when draft stuff was going on. So I was talking about last year when I was talking to people about draft stuff, first thing, oh, how's it going in Houston? I mean, well, it's a little weird. And the first thing I said was, why would he do that on direct message where people can screen grab him? And like, why don't you just go get somebody on the low and keep two or three girls around instead of doing that? Like, that's literally the comment that everyone made. Why would you be doing this on direct media? But now I got
50 places on Shepherd and West Alabama and Montrose and where you can go and they want to do this.
But I got my answer, though, because in his age group, social media and with businesses and such. So now I got the answer.
Okay, here's a good one. Why should you believe more than 20 women?
I can't speak on what people opinions are because everyone have their own opinions. But what I can continue to do is tell the truth, and that is I've never assaulted or disrespected or harassed any woman in my life. Like I said before, I was raised differently. That's not my DNA. That's not my culture. That's not me as a person. And that's not how I was raised.
Mm. Huh. That's a continuing theme. That's not how I was raised. That's not the person that I am. That is a continuing thing. Here is one that's very interesting that I heard a lawyer talking about this weekend. Why will you settle the 22 civil suits?
That's not my intent. My intent is to continue to clear my name as much as possible, and that's what I'm focused on.
That is
Andrew Barry should have jumped in and said, that's not, we're going to go ahead and get this thing knocked out.
Well, the lawyer said, excellent response. He was coached up well by his lawyer because you do not want to say, yes, I want to have these settled. I want to get out of this thing because that gives leverage to the other side. They know you're desperate to get out of it. He says he wants to go to trial. I think that if I put a percentage on it, maybe 5% chance that this goes to trial. He will settle all of these. I don't think that there's any question about that. Rusty's dragging it out as long as he can because he's, you know, billable hours. So Andrew Barry was pressed on the structuring of the contract so that Deshaun basically pays minimally while he is suspended by the league.
To us, from a club perspective, were to have another year, have Deshaun under contract for another year, and to have it structured in a manner that would allow us, maximum flexibility to execute the rest of our off-season plan.
So that one is questionable. We know what they're doing here, right? They are definitely trying to get around the league. They're trying to get Deshaun as much money as possible. It was one of the points that Deshaun, hey, Deshaun, here's what we're going to do. Structure your contract this way. So when you do get suspended, like Tom Brady did, he did the same thing. They did the same thing with Tom Brady when he was suspended for Deflategate. But if you are going to try to do this to
the
league.
But Tom Brady was on that team, and they feel like they did nothing wrong as an entire unit. Cleveland, this is a different situation involving other people,
right?
Involving 22 women with sexual misconduct claims and all that stuff. This is something where it just looks like David Mulligetti really just bullied. The Browns are desperate. They made a desperate move, and David Mulligetti got everything he wanted, and I think including this. Now, it does benefit Cleveland, too. It benefits Cleveland, the team.
Well,
by having the number so low, they get a chance to do a lot more free agency.
That's exactly right.
And they're going to do something with Baker.
As I understand it, this is not unusual, and Jake Trotter will address this, but Myles Garrett, I think they structured his contract somewhat like this so that they had money available in the year that they signed him so that they could do other things.
It looks like the
optics. He said the optics look terrible. They look bad. There's no question about it. The optics on a lot of this stuff look really, really bad. So there's a lot more. We got to take a break. But when we come back, we will continue this conversation. We will do What Did You Learn This Weekend in one sentence. And at 8 o'clock at the top of the hour, we're going to do that. So we've got that coming up your way on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I've got Chastain Ford that I'm talking about. I'm talking about nothing down, no payments for 90 days, and 0% financing for 60 months. Go find that. Who's doing that? I mean, maybe there are other dealerships doing it. I don't know, but I do know this. The other dealerships are calling it market pricing, where they're charging you list price plus $5,000 plus $10,000 that they're adding on, they're marking up. They're talking about market pricing because it's so hard to get these vehicles. Well, Chastain Ford ain't doing that. Chastain Ford ain't about that life. Chastain Ford is saying, not only are we not marking up, not only are we not adding on, okay, no bed liners or sunroofs or leather seats, we're not doing that. Not only are we not doing all that, we're still going to give you nothing down, 0% financing, and no payments for 90 days. Nobody's doing this. This is the way that they do business at Chastain Ford. If you're looking for that kind of dealer with that kind of integrity and that kind of worry about you as a client, as a part of the Chastain family, then get to ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:45 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Coming your way, top of the hour, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jake Trotter from Cleveland, ESPN Cleveland, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. He was a guy who asked a couple of questions here. I don't think he asked this question, but we're going to continue on with Deshaun Watson's press conference, and there are some interesting things here. This was what I thought was his best answer. And Deshaun did not have a lot of good moments in this, but I thought this was his best answer when he was asked on working with women's groups in Cleveland.
You know, I'm going to work with this organization and my team to the perfect opportunity for us to come out and just help, because I've always been that type of person. That's how I was raised, and that's why I continue to say I'm a servant leader, because I wrote a book on it. That's how I was before any of these allegations. But at the same time, I know, and I'm not naive to the point that I have to earn that trust back from the community and people outside that's looking, you know, at these allegations and haven't spoke to me before. So that's my goal, is to be able to earn that trust and keep pushing forward.
So
that's not the one that I'm
thinking. That's not the one you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I have that in here.
Well,
what you're
have
talking
to
about.
Have that one.
I don't know that I have that one in here where you said he was hands on.
Andrew had it.
And
I heard it.
Yeah, he was hands on, and that's not.
Find
that's,
that
that's
one.
That's unfortunate.
RJ, find that one.
Wait. No. Just hold off. We got these in order. So hold off. So that I thought was really his best answer, in that, you know, he gets it. He is self-aware that he has to earn their trust, that he has to wait. He can't be just pushing forward and pushing himself on women's groups, because they are going to see through that he just wants to clear his name, clear his brand. Immediately, it was followed by what I thought was his worst answer. Will you be seeking counseling for your problem?
It's hard for me to say the counseling part, because I don't have a problem. You know, I don't have an issue, and that's what I've been saying from the beginning. So this situation is definitely tough, and it's very difficult. But me as a having a problem going to counseling and things like that, I'm willing to talk to people about certain situations to make sure I'm not getting back in this. But I never assaulted anyone, never disrespected anyone. I've always been respectful, and that's what I've always, you know, stood on, and that's who I am as a person.
He said that. He said that. I can't tell you how many times in this press. I've never been disrespectful. I've never harassed a woman. Oh my God. It's just the, I've never harassed a woman. I mean, it's so obvious that there is, I don't know what exactly happened, but there's so much smoke there that there's got to be some kind of fire here. But that he would say, I don't have any problem. He was also, a little bit later, we'll hear it, about regrets as well. The dude is just, I don't know.
Well, he's in a position, just objectively speaking, he's in a position where he can't say, I need to go to therapy. Because then it's an admission that you have a problem. But he's already admitted, like, the fact that he has gone to over 40 different girls who, we say masseuses, many were not masseuses. He tried to talk them into giving him a massage. I mean, come on. You'll have people, like, if we were just talking, like, me and another dude, just like, come on, dude, right? You're not on Twitter. You don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to front. And you'd have people say, okay, this, like, that's weird. We know the deal. He's got a thing. But he can't say, right, I need help. Even though he might, he can't say that publicly. If you were in charge of Deshaun Watson, you would say, Deshaun, under no circumstances do you say, I need to go to therapy? That's something personal that you will discuss, but you don't say that. That's going to hurt you with the civil
cases. I wouldn't say, though, that, hey, I got no problem. When there are 22 civil cases,
right?
All that self-awareness about working with women's group in Cleveland, he lost it all.
But he had no comments the whole time.
No, he didn't have to ask him a no comment. Maybe you could have framed it better. Listen, I'm open, but I, you know what? I just think
they practice the questions and answers?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Because it didn't sound like the way Deshaun answered sometimes.
Well, how many times?
And it didn't sound like the way Andrew Berry answered sometimes.
Dude, he kept saying the same thing over and over.
Well, I think he was told ongoing investigation.
That's not me. That's not a person. I've never harassed a woman.
Yeah, that's basic ones. But did you truly, like, you should have gotten him ready like it was a debate.
Yeah.
You should have had people asking him tough questions like, okay, let's stop right there. You can't say this, like, you should have anticipated questions. I don't think they spent that much time.
I don't know if that's a
3-hour prep.
I don't know that they would have prepped for the counseling question. I don't know. That came out of nowhere. That was Mary Kay Cabot, by the way. The toughest question of the entire thing was to Andrew Berry. What do you say to people who face sexual assault and Brown fans who say they can't root for the team anymore?
I would tell you that we'll never fully be able to walk in the shoes of individuals who have been affected by sexual assault. And that is something that, you know, we thought about a lot as we went through this process, understanding, what the reaction would be. And that's something that weighed heavily on me. We empathize with that emotion. We empathize with that sentiment. And at the same time, we also do feel good about the work that we did as we vetted this transaction. We do have confidence and faith in Deshaun as a person. And that did weigh heavily in the decision. But between the information that we were able to gather, working through due process, working through the legal process, you know, we do think that this is a decision that, as it's evaluated over the long run, will be something that is positive for our organization.
So you want to talk about uncomfortable. Watching him, and immediately after that question, he grabbed his water and he was drinking. He was like, man, this sucks. This sucks. Andrea Tomei just tweeted out not long ago. Maybe it was yesterday.
I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Jim Tomei's wife. She very smartly set up the function where you cannot comment unless she follows you.
Mm.
Or unless she mentions you, I guess. Mentions and she follows you. And so no one could say anything. She just said, after 40 years, we're not doing it. We're not going to. It was hard to let the tickets go, but we're not going to have season tickets. I still think that what's going to happen ultimately is you'll hear the gnashing of teeth. It will cost them some fans. It will be over. I mean, we know we have too much history to know that this is the way it's going to respond. Unless you can show me the one player in the history of sports where a majority of fan base turned on an organization, even when that player was good, go ahead and show me the first player where that happened. Again, I'll show you the first player where that happened because I've never seen it happen.
Yeah, no.
So at some point they're all going to – maybe not all, but a lot of people are going to get on board.
This is a little, I mean, I've never seen, have you ever seen a press conference like this?
No, that was really uncomfortable. But you and I also thought that they would let him answer. Like, I did not see, I thought he would face the music. I feel like at some point he needs to be contrite, but you can't do it in that particular setting. I mean, you could, but you also have 22 cases.
He's got no contrite
so
in him.
You can't, here's the thing. Even if it's faux contrition, maybe you can't have contrition while 22 civil cases are pending.
Yeah, why'd you say you're sorry?
You're not going to fight them.
Why'd you say you were sorry, Deshaun?
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Right.
Deshaun's got a thing that he likes. It has led to something that's gotten him in trouble. He's been found not guilty. Deshaun has admitted to consensual sex with multiple people, went through this act that he has had where he seeks out people
in
direct messages.
If
you're being real about it, we can have a real conversation. If you want to do the social media thing and just front, that's fine. You can just stay fronting if you want to. But if we just talk about it like guys behind the scene, you know, he's got a thing that he does. And he probably needs to get some help for that because that's the kind of thing that can get you in trouble. And you need to – and you're doing stuff that women allegedly – you know, that if the things that are true, I'm giving you the alleged, but I think where there's smoke, there's fire, you're doing something that is not necessarily fully consensual with women.
Yep.
I mean, that's a criminal, that is a criminal act.
Yep.
And so you got it, whatever this is internally, you got to get this taken care of.
Absolutely.
That's what I would tell him if I'm with Deshaun. But that's something, John, that's not a conversation that realistically you can have publicly. Because it is almost an admission of some sort of guilt.
I agree. Deshaun Watson, do you have any regrets?
I mean, I don't have any regrets. like I said before, the things that are off the field right now that came up, you know, caught me by surprise because I never did anything that these people are alleging. And I know a lot of people say that I took the year off, and I used that to be able to clear my name. Like the previous 2 weeks, and just to continue to fight that. And I just continue to work and become a better person, a better player, and just a better son, you know, like my mom has always taught me.
Mm. He said that over and over. Oh. Okay, finally, the Browns were asked, Andrew Berry, the general manager, was asked, do you think Deshaun is innocent?
We feel very confident in Deshaun, the person. And we have a lot of faith in him, and we believe that as he gets into the community and our organization, he's going to make a positive impact.
That was not, yeah, we think all the 22 are wrong. Boy, you can't, if you're the Browns, you just can't do that. But they continue to send the message that they think that Deshaun, they think that the person, they think that he's rehabilitated in some way, shape, or form, that he won't do this. They said this. You know, they don't believe that any of this is going to happen in the city of Cleveland. They don't believe that they're unleashing a monster onto their community. I don't believe that he's a monster. I think he's got a fetish, like you said. I think he's got a fetish.
I think that's what it is. But I think, you know, in talking to I had a conversation with Mina Kimes about this, and you get a different perspective. I had a conversation with my daughter about this and my wife. When you talk to women, you get a little different perspective in that, you know, for men, we might talk about it as a fetish or whatever. But if you did something to someone and you touched them inappropriately, like I tell my daughter this, like, you know, we have to have serious conversations. You have them at relatively young ages with girls about, hey, this is, and kids, like in general, no one can touch you here, blah, blah, blah. Mina Kimes would not say, no, this is just not something you just, and you can disagree with her on a lot of different stuff that she said. But as a woman, her point was, this is not something where you just say, ah, you know, he did something he didn't know, or he just thought he was. No, that's the epitome of you're using your status
and situation,
your physicality, your size, whatever it is. That, and whatever the woman feel, she made a point about some women just feel, you know, you're in a room together. It's just you and them. And this person is, women always feel like, she said in many cases, you're much smaller than the man. And, you know, there's an understanding, there's a physical disparity between the two. And it can be a scary proposition that is just the normal way of life for women in certain instances when they are in situations that are uncomfortable. Man, this is... what do you think about the Haslams not being there? Jimmy Haslam not being there. Usually you see owners on the dais for that. And he's got to have a comment.
Yep.
And he avoided that.
All right. We got to take a break. When we come back.
I want to get back into a little bit of Cougars.
Well, we're going to talk about what did you learn this weekend in one sentence. That's what we're going to do.
Did you learn anything?
I did learn something this weekend in one sentence. Did you learn anything this weekend?
I learned about three things.
I did too. I did. Yeah. I learned a bunch this weekend. So 713, this has been a great segment. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend? But you only get one sentence.
You guys are really good at this.
You are.
Yeah, you're really good at this. I'll just say this.
I will say this. They're the laziest listeners ever. But in this segment, they actually pick up their game.
Yeah, they do.
They do. So 713-780-3776.
Urgency in that segment.
Well, and listen, it can be about anything. It could be about the Oscars. It could be about your wife. It could be about your kids. It could be about your work. It could be about anything. It doesn't have to be about sports.
It could be about your wife at the Oscars.
And some kid that she's having relations with. 713-780-3776. In the meantime, Maestro.
Maestro Dobell wants to be your maestro. They want to be the one that is the master of the ceremonies for your weekend or your weekday, whatever the case may be. May just be you go home and you make yourself a nice smoky margarita with the smoked silver that they have called the Humito. Remember, this is 11 generations of tequila makers, so they've had a chance to really go through the process and the correct processes to create the most flavorful, varied profiles from tequilas that you're going to find. The Reposado, the Añejo Extra, which is a very, very smooth and delicious tequila, something I absolutely love. And then they have what's called the Cristalino, and they actually created this category that others are now using. They charcoal filtered three different blends, the Reposado, Añejo, and Añejo Extra. They combine them, they charcoal filter them, and the result is a staggering success with the Cristalino called the Diamante. Make sure whether you are drinking a sipping tequila or a cocktail or a margarita that you try, my friends, at Maestro Dobell. Wherever fine liquors are sold, if they don't have it, demand it. It's Maestro Dobell.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.